Welcome to Emerging Mondays. In this podcast, Dave Cormier from Prince Edward Island University talks about MOOCs, massively online open courses. Dave has been working with Stephen Downes and George Siemens in developing the Open Communities and Connective Knowledge course, which attracted nearly 2,000 enrolments. This short version of the seminar podcast provides Dave's introduction to the event.
In terms of the MOOCs and MOOCs generally and how they connect with the way that other people are doing open courses, and I think realistically more important that we talk about the open rather than the massive. The massive does create some, the massive part of the massive open online course creates some very specific problems, but I think they're much easier to talk about than the difficulties and the sort of interesting things that show up around the open part about this. So I'll do a quick description of the whole MOOC idea and how I ended up tangled up in the middle of this in the first place, and then hopefully sketch out, maybe just in a couple of minutes, some of what I see the field to be right now and where the points of interest are, maybe set up four or five trailing questions that we can hopefully get your guys' opinions on, and we can fire up into this as different points come up and end up being interesting to people. So the MOOC, the term, came out of a conversation I had with George and Stephen, George Siemens and Stephen Downes, sometime in the middle of July, when I needed to post something on the EdTech Talk webcast that we were going to have about it. And I said, well, what do you call this thing that you guys are doing? At the time, there are 1,250 students registered for the course, I think, who had expressed interest in the course. And by the time the course went live, there were 2,250, I believe it was. And it needed some kind of other name. We came up with Massive Open Online Course because it was as descriptive as we could find it. The word open, and the question popped up, what does open mean in the context? That's exactly the critical issue. And I think when you look at the field generally, that's the issue, and I'll get to that in a moment. The course itself is set up more like, and Stephen calls it the traditional lecture style. So he and George are more going through the idea of connectivism in order to explore it and having other people come along with them. Okay, so there's not, it's not a course in the sense that they've set up paths for people to follow and have, you know, discrete expectations of everybody who's following along with it. There is a part of the course that is like that. That's the local course. There are 30 students registered at the University of Manitoba who are responsible for following a certain, a more restricted curriculum. The open side of this doesn't really have a restricted curriculum that people are following. There's no way in which you can take it that is the best way or the better way or the way that will get formally recognized. It is more of a journey that you're welcome to follow along with everyone else, in order to explore the idea of connectivism. There's a certain sense in which that's a really cool thing. So what you get to do by playing along, and everybody who has wanted to play along at this point has been treated almost the same way, that you can blog about it and your blog will be aggregated to the general team. So Stephen and George have taken the position of aggregating that stuff, of commenting on the things that people have written about it, drawing out four or five of the best one of those. They've also set up some readings that they feel are critical and also some themes that people can follow along with. But it's more of a study course that you can follow with. It's more of, and it's what's funny about that, and what I think is pretty interesting about what's starting to happen, is it's more becoming a community of people who study connectivism. I don't know that, actually, I know for sure that Stephen didn't plan that. His dislike of what he would call a group would restrict him from that, but I really do see that it's becoming a group or a community of people who are moving towards this learning goal. And the nice thing about the way that the massive rolled into that is that, you know, 25, 30, 40 people kind of shook their way out of that 2,000 and ended up being really great people to have that journey with. And there are other people who are following along in a casual sense. I'm more involved than most in the sense that I'm doing the Friday wrap-ups, where we have a discussion every Friday to talk about the course and how it's going. There are people who are there a little bit, but more it's an event happening on the internet that you can kind of join in with that follows it follows the path that the students who are actually being assessed at the University of Manitoba are following. So it's a course in that sense. When you look at what Lee Blackall is doing in New Zealand, I think you've got a model that maybe is a better one to go forward with. Certainly, it's one that is easier to sell to administrators. What it is you have people who are formally registered who have decided to pay up front and who are part of this course. You have another group of people who are not formally registered but have informally registered for the course, and they are allowed to follow along, do work that's there. The work is set out a little bit more specifically in terms of what you would need for your own collection of work at the end, and then you can plar back for the credit later. So you can hand in your work at the end and say, hey, I've been here all along. There need to be some evidence of that. It's a public course, so that evidence will be out there on the internet. But what would be needed for that and for that plarring, for that prior learning acquisition recognition, never get that right, but whatever, for plarring is set up at the beginning, and you know when you start that if you want to sample with that course and get a sense to see if it's for you, you can do that. You can get involved, decide to do the work, and then get the credit near the end when you pay your money and get through. So there's a model there that Lee's doing that I think is really compelling. And that's a slightly different kind of openness, and we're moving to that discussion now. It's open in the same way. Anybody can go join. I could go and follow along. And there's something nice about that openness, and people can just kind of follow along with what's going on. Openness is also what the folks at MIT are calling what they've done with their open courses, which is, to me, a vastly different model, and what it's about is just access, right? The wonderful people from on high have decided that they are going to allow us to see their secret knowledge, and by access to that, we will somehow become better people. As you can tell by the way I present that, it's not particularly a model I like very much, but certainly it is better than having it not accessible, and there's a lot of really good information out there in terms of the MID open course movement, and I think if you were doing a course in chemistry, for instance, there might be some really nice access for stuff for people there. The other sense in which open is being used, it follows along more with what the work that, say, Alec Kouros is doing or the stuff that I'm doing in my own open course that I taught in the summer and hopefully will continue to teach. And that's that in the case of what Stephen and George are doing, what they're moving towards is set. Somebody mentioned earlier that they were very impressed with the fact that what connectivism was still up for debate. And that's completely true. They're not dictating. They're still debating. The fact that they don't agree, however, is the greatest reason why that's happening. I don't think they went in with the intention of not necessarily knowing what was knowledge in that case, but the fact that Stephen and George happen to disagree about what connectivism is makes that a really interesting course and makes what becomes knowledge kind of a nice moving target in terms of so that as a participant you can actually be involved in the contextual creation of that knowledge, which is, I think, the most compelling part of openness. When you look at the work that Alec has done at the University of Regina, what you have is a far more profound openness. What you have is an openness not only in terms of access, not only in terms of participation, but in terms of knowledge creation. So the students themselves end up starting to create the curriculum. So they are actually able to guide the curriculum. The curriculum is not actually set from the outset. It's formed by the communities that Alec happens to be connected to. So the fact that Alec happens to know the 12 or 14 or 15 people that joined in affects what becomes part of the course. The students themselves and what they believe in affect what becomes part of the course. And what becomes true for those people and what becomes their quote-unquote textbook ends up changing as that course goes on. So those students in that 831 course from last year, and if you put in 831 and Alec Kouros, you'll get pretty much any details about that you want from the internet, it really gives you a sense of, it really gives the students a sense of actually participating not only in the learning but in the creation of knowledge. And I think there's something key there, and there's a really profound openness in that. And that's certainly what I talk about in terms of my own work with Rhizomatic Education, is the openness is, it comes down to that individual being able to participate in being part of what knowledge is for that course. So the MOOC, the tag, okay, massive open online course. The course itself part, the online, I think we'll all agree what that is. That's on the internet. When we come back to the last word, mostly, and we've fought a lot about this, and mostly Stephen Downs and I have argued about this endlessly. it's just essentially attached. The best definition we've come up to with it is attached to an organization, attached to a validating institution. Other than that, once you get past that, the word course is such an interpretational kind of thing that tying it down really kind of gets confusing. So I don't know if that rambling intro was helpful at all, but there it is.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons 3 license.